All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com.
Welcome to another edition of Word Bros. I'm Kevin Cuff.
I'm Bob France. Welcome to the most electric, hottest podcast in the comics landscape, baby. Bursting through the lightning bolt of all being and being and alive and living the life and doing good stuff. We got Kyle Starks on today. I'm really excited about that.
We got Kyle Starks on. We talk a bunch of wrestling. Mm-hmm. We talk about his books, including Old Head, Rick and Morty, and other books he's putting out, Assassination.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we talk about these things because Kyle's great.
Yep. And the cool part is you can go to thewordbros.com and click on the Things from Another World banner that's right there on the page. And you can look up all of these books that Kyle Starks has made, my man. They got Assassination up there. They got all his books, Rick and Morty stuff. So if you're in any of that stuff, they got all that stuff that you need. And we'd like to thank Things from Another World for sponsoring the podcast.
But they also don't have Old Head. So you have to go to thekylestarks.com to get.
Well, we'll let Kyle talk about that.
Okay.
Who else will do a better job pitching their website than Kyle Starks?
Kyle writes the best promo. So.
He does. He good. So give Kyle Starks a listen, and we'll talk. Give Kyle Starks a listen.
We'll find out.
Well, I guess we will, Kyle Starks.
He's the cleaner.
He's the best. Kyle Starks, you are one of my favorite writers in comics. I don't know if you even saw this. Probably you didn't. Good night, Toby. But Old Head was one of my top books of 2020 because it was real deal Holyfield good. I think you're wonderful. And it's so nice to have you back on Word Bros.
Thanks, man. That's a good intro. I like that.
You're a good dude, man. You're one of my favorites.
To be told I'm wonderful. It's fantastic.
Yeah, right? Like, I hope there's someone in your life, Kyle Starks, that tells you that every day. And if not, you can come live in my basement and I can just tell you every day on a daily basis. I'll bring you toast and tell you that you're wonderful.
My wife tells me, but I think she's legally obligated to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Bobby will do it for free too. So, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't want none of your stuff. My wife works. I just want you to know that that Kevin and I both think you're really great.
I appreciate that. I think you guys are great. That's why I'm here.
No, you're here because you're a publicity whore, Kyle Starks.
I got nothing to promote, man. I got nothing to promote right now.
I know, which is weird. Like, so that's the, like, Kevin asked you to be on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, why? Like, he's got nothing to promote. He's got nothing going on. Like, what's
just because
the point?
He's great and we always have good conversations with Kyle Starks. That's why.
Yeah, that's fair. I like to talk. I like company.
How's the pandemic and this weather treating you now, man?
Well, I mean, the weather is just like one more awful reason for me not to go outside. We're talking to wife today because wife's starting to get a little cabin fever, and I'm starting to get it because of the snow. I think the snow is like a visible force keeping me from going anyplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done anything. I did one convention in February of last year. And I usually do about 30 to 36 a year. And it's like, man, I haven't seen anyone or done anything or gone anywhere. Like, I go to the grocery store and that's it. That's the only place I go to.
Yeah.
I know. It's real bad.
So I'm doing it's fine. It's fine because at least I don't have to leave. You know, I feel bad for everyone who's had to for the last, 14 months or whatever we're at now has had to go outside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel for that. I'm glad that me and my family did not have to, but it's emotionally wearing on us. But I, you know, wife and I, you know, both like clearly we made the right choice in each other because we love each other more than ever, you know, like we've had fun, but I don't feel remiss. I don't feel like I'm trapped or I'm suffering or,
yeah, No, I feel, but it feels unpopular to say that. Like when people ask me, like, how are you handling all this? It's like, dude, it's fine. Like I'm with my wife. We have a great time together. I'm with my kids. My kids are fun. Like,
yeah, my kids are fine.
Yeah, like we're okay. And I feel bad. I feel bad saying that I'm okay during all this, but I am. Like it's been okay.
Yeah, my wife hates driving in the snow. She hasn't had to work for several years because I've been doing okay. It's like, look, we're really considering how really awful everything is, like, you know, we're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's okay to say that. I wish I had more money. That's gonna be an issue soon, but it is what it is. We're always working, we're always hustling to make sure, like, you know, these aren't real problems. But I miss my 36 con money for sure. Like that's a lot of no New York Comic Con, like missing New York Comic Con, like New York Comic Con pays some bills, you know.
I imagine, dude. Especially with all those hot books you have, dude.
Well, everyone loves Rick and Morty, you know, everyone loves Rick and Morty.
No, I mean, you know what?
Everyone loves Karate Prom too.
The thing is, I've never read Rick and Morty. I've never seen Rick and Morty, the cartoon, but I love me some Old Head and I love your other books too. So Rick and Morty is just, but I imagine Rick and Morty's cool because it pays the bills.
Rick and Morty pays the bills. Yeah. When I go to conventions, no one's like, hey man, you got any books about an ex NBA player fighting Dracula? It never happens. Though you think someone would knowing me, but.
Bob France would say that.
Dude, I love that book. I honestly love that. I know this sounds weird. I never read trades in one sitting ever. I don't know why, but there's always a part of my brain that goes, I can stop now. But when I read Old Head, I was like, I'm just going to burn burning right through this thing. It's beautiful.
I'm going to express some bitterness now because Bob never told me about the Kickstarter. He just assumed I knew about it. And then
I just over by the time he told me to look at it.
I know. That is fair. Like, I get a lot of that too, where people are like, you saw that Kickstarter. And I'm like, man, I don't see all of them.
Yeah,
once I'm done with my Kickstarter, like I'm not keeping a close eye. Once it comes around again, I got the itch to do another one, then I start paying more attention. But you miss them; it happens. We did pretty good. I would like to have done better, but you know, you always want to do better.
You didn't tell me about that, man. I missed that book.
Buy the book from Kyle, baby. I'm sure he's got it.
KyleStarks.com/merch. You can get it digital too. You can get it digital for our overseas and international folks. No,
I gotta have that print, baby.
Yeah, I know. I like Kyle,
pretty good. Dwight's are colored it, so
it looks great. Kyle, let me ask you a question. Do you have a hardback?
Of what?
Anything. Kevin will buy your hardbacks. Any hardback.
Oh, but I asked Image a few years back to if we could do a hardback of Rock Candy Mountain, and it's real funny. I emailed Eric Stevenson. I was like, hey, do you think we could do a hardback of Rock Candy Mountain? You know, I really regret putting it out in two volumes because a lot of people never read the second volume, which is literally the second half of the story. It's like, I should have done it one volume. Could we do a hardcover? You think? I think it'd sell really well. And Eric Stevenson's like, yeah, hold on. Let me get my business guy on the phone real quick. Let me get on the line. So the business guy jumps in. He's like, hey, so the thing is with Rock Candy Mountain is that it sold terrible. So we're not going to do that. So it's something that I'm interested in, but you know, hardcovers are expensive. I'm just, you know, I know like Schweitzer's one of those guys, and Matt Kent for sure are the type of guys that they like that sort of prestige hardcover. They like the value. It's like an object, right? Yeah, sure. I see you point yourself. But you know, for me personally, like I'm very much like, I want everyone to be able to have it. It's not like the format's not special, like the story is special. But for Rock Candy Mountain, it's something that I know they just let Ryan Brown and Charles Soule do Curse Words as an omnibus. And sort of the story was that like Image was like, yeah, we'll do that. But when the pandemic came around, they're like, you know what, those omnibuses don't actually sell that well for us. Like if you want to do something, go ahead. So I'm sure they'd let me do something with Rock Candy Mountain. And it's sort of, I want to do it.
Do
it. Let me do it. But it's always like, you know, I'm like right now I'm doing three books and trying to draw. I'd like to draw another book here ASAP, and I'm trying to sell Karate Prom. It's like there's a lot going on. So it's like, well, the Rock Candy Mountain thing is down the line, and I'd have to, you know, acquire files, and it's kind of be a pain in the ass. And who knows if they even let me do it? I say that. I know they'll let me do it. Like, what do they care? That book hasn't sold. Like, it's funny because it gets like renaissances. Like this last like 4 months, like people have been really into Rock Candy Mountain because someone will have read the whole thing and be like, this is great. Why didn't anyone tell me about this? It's like, yeah, because no one read the whole thing because it was $10 first volumes and people just bought the first volume and forgot about it because $10 is such a good deal. Anyway, Rock Candy Mountain. Hey, I made that book. You can get it to KyleStarks.com/merch.
Now, if I buy that shit at KyleStarks.com, are you going to be like JR and sign them shits and like,
oh, yeah. Write- you know, if you buy Rock Candy Mountain, I think you can buy them both. I really thought I was being so clever because it's like, oh, the second volume, I'll just sell for $15, which is cheaper, you know, about $5 less than what a volume was going for at the time. This was what, 3 years ago, I think. Anyway, so it's like you could get a full, whatever it is, it's 200 something pages, I think. I don't, no one checked that. It's a bunch of pages for like $25. So it's like basically $40 worth of comics for $25, right?
Damn,
son. That's a good salesman.
I think you can. Yeah. I think, and it's my store. I should know. I think you can get both for $20 or $20. Like you get them real cheap. I have them real cheap because I want people to buy the whole thing. So
yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to. If I was going to do a hardcover, that'd be the one. And I really want Image to do it, but they wouldn't go for it. But the other thing is like, you know, well, you guys know because you're doing the Kickstarter. Is like I have my printer, and they don't do hardcovers. They do. They only do softback, and they've never done me wrong. In fact, they've gone above and beyond. So it's like, if I'm going to do a Kickstarter, I kind of want to keep giving money to those guys. These guys, speaking of, like this printer for Kickstarter, because you guys, I talk about Kickstarters on here all I want, right? You guys do Kickstarters all the time. These guys, during the pandemic, the owner, because it's in Virginia, I think, and they shut down. They didn't have, you couldn't have workers come in. But this guy, he's like, I will go into the shop. I own the shop. I can go into the shop, and I will print the book. Like during the pandemic, like this guy goes above and beyond. There's a, I had something that was messed up. Some volume, something on Kill Them All. I think I'm looking around trying to remember what it was. Something misprinted and it was my fault. And I basically gotten like the first 100 out because they're like, oh, we'll have to send out pieces. And I messed it up. So one person caught that the print version didn't match the PDF version. Mm. And so I said to the guy, I'm like, hey, like, what can I do? Can we reprint what's left? Or like, I guess I'll eat it. And he's like, no, I'll just rip the pages out and we'll sew in the new pages. And didn't charge me. Like, yeah. So it's like, that's the thing. Like, I would like it. I'd like a hardcover. I'd like glossy print. It's like, I like my printer, man. He's taking care of me and he needs the money. I'm sure as much as I need a good printer. I'd like to do all that cutesy stuff. Schweitzer would go, you know, he'd want to make the book out of like, it like fold out and who fucking like
little want to make soldiers, it out of like animal
soldiers. Yeah.
Out of like leather. Animal hide.
Yeah. Like who knows? Like I get it, but it's not for me. Though I thought cashing on that for Rocky Mountain would have been real smart. Anyway,
I cut down this tree, Kyle, and we're gonna make this book out of bark. The cover's gonna be bark because that's how I am. I'm a man.
We're just gonna slice it. We'll slice the tree, and each one will be a page. I'll be like, this is too much.
So it's Kyle Starks. When this interview's over, man, let us know your printer. I would love to give this dude some business. He sounds like a righteous fellow.
Yeah, he's good for trades for sure. I did a My Hero Academia sketchbook for New York Comic Con, whatever that last 2019, I guess. And he printed that. It came out great. Like his watercolors came out pretty good.
Great.
I was real proud of him.
Nice. I mean, ours will let us do hardcover, but Bobby always says no.
Because it's not.
He always ruins my dreams. That's what he does.
It's a pain in the ass to shoot.
You know what it is? That's a stretch goal, baby. That's what that is.
Man, he won't do it.
I'm not doing him.
He won't do it.
I don't like him either. You'd have to charge him up for shipping.
Yeah.
Yes, we'd have to upcharge for shipping.
But nah, you know what? But here's what one would say.
Media mail, son.
No, but even with on a hardcover book, like it's still gonna be too much. But what you do is you like, Metal Shark has been so successful. We're now gonna do the Metal Shark hardcover edition Kickstarter. That's how you do it.
We talked about that.
We did talk about that.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Whatever your best selling thing, you're like, if we want a hardcover so bad. And the thing is, I think hardcovers will look better at shows, but you can't fly with those motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're too heavy.
They're too heavy, man. Yeah.
We don't fly nowhere. We're not big time. We just drive. If we can't drive, then we don't go.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
You're right, Kyle Starks. You're right. You never know. Like the Knicks, baby. You never know. They're going to take off this year.
They're taking off.
They playing great basketball this year, Kyle Starks. What are they, 17 and 18 or something like that?
It's almost 500. It's so sad being a Knicks fan. It's like the fucking most heartbreaking thing.
The Knicks, did they win? They lost tonight to the Orlando Magic. They are 14 and 16.
Which is the best record they've had in 20 years. Yes. Since 2003, whenever they went to the playoffs. It's the last time they're in the playoffs.
I think last year they won all of like 20 games. I mean, that's not bad.
The problem is going to be is that the reason why they're playing so well is Tibbs is running them into the ground. So next year they'll just be back to being just like a bunch of broken down, torn up bodies. I'm pulling for the Knicks, but I think I told you maybe privately, like, because I've been a Knicks fan my entire life. John Starks got me into basketball. Right. Who's a Knicks? It's in the old head. I dedicated the book to John Starks, NBA Knicks legend John Starks. But Man, I don't think I can root for them again until Dolan's gone.
It's hard. I'm a New York Mets fan. I love baseball. We recently got rid of our terrible owners and we've got this like rich hedge fund dude and it's great. Like he just does cool stuff. Yeah. It's bad. It's the worst thing about American sports are having bad owners. It can kill you. Like look at the Clippers. They had that racist guy forever. Now they're like pretty
well, that guy also didn't care about basketball or winning basketball. True. In addition to being a terrible human being. I was like, when I got to football, I was a big Steelers fan. And then when Roethlisberger, they never cut him. I was like, I'm done with football. Like, I'm done with football. And like basketball is the same way. It's like, I quit rooting for the Knicks, who have literally been like I felt like a battered housewife for years. And I'm not trying to minimize that, but it's like, I keep coming back. Like no matter how bad, yeah. I remember when they signed, Zach Randolph and Eddie Curry, and I was like, this is the lineup. Think about how stupid you have to be. Think about how brainwashed to think that having two guys who play the same style and it's not good.
Same big fat guy.
Yeah, it's like, I thought this was such a great move. And it's like, man, I'm smarter than that. The best things I've done in the last couple of years is I've cut the Knicks out because it was just hateful. I feel like they're the Clippers if a business was running instead of an individual. They don't care about winning. They're making moves that never make any sense. Yeah. I remember like getting stoked about Keith Van Horn. Like you have to be, your standards have to be low to get stoked about Keith Van Horn. And it wasn't young Keith Van Horn. It was like 34-year-old Keith Van Horn. Like cutting out the Knicks. And a lot of that was, my wife wanted to start watching basketball and she has no loyalty to the Knicks, but she went to Butler. We love Butler. And Gordo came to the Celtics and Brad Stevens, as a Knicks fan, Brad Stevens has given me my only basketball joy in like the last 20 years. So it's like, we're following Brad to the Celtics. As soon as Dolan's gone, I'm ready to go back. I don't love Tibbs either. I think Tibbs doesn't care about players' bodies. Anyway, in the same way, I quit watching WWE. I like wrestling so much more now that I don't watch WWE. And I've moved my office into the basement because of virtual schooling. And so sometimes I'll see like the last 30 minutes of Raw or SmackDown. And it's terrible. It's like, I'm not missing this. It's the same thing with the Knicks. Every year, except for this year, that Julius Randle put on like 40 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
It's like, looks like a beast mode. And Emmanuel Quigley, like they have players that are interesting, but it's the same. It's like, I don't miss it, man. The Celtics are good. The Knicks are, I always love the Knicks. I'm always ready to go back to the Knicks, but they got to change they got to go to rehab. They got to get some therapy.
Yeah.
They got to get rid of the toxic influences in their lives.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back. And I feel the same way at WWE. Like one day Vince will be gone. And maybe I'll come back.
Maybe Vince, it'll be a good show. When
Vince
gone.
McMahon is going to outlive all of us. He's in better shape than all of us combined. He's got more money than he knows. He's going to live till he's like 8,000 years old.
I think his brain's failing though. Like at some point, it's going to be like,
they're just going to put Star Trek a Vince when head like, on a robot. That's what they're going to do. It's Vince is going to get his head on a robot. And then he's going to still wrestle people. It's going to be a wrestling robot.
I don't even know. I think I was looking at a list of like NXT guys. I don't know who any of these guys are. That's all powder.
Same.
And I don't feel bad about it.
I mean, the guys I like, they don't give pushes to, so it doesn't matter. Like, I'm like, oh, Finn Balor's got a lot of talent. What does he do? Oh,
he's in NXT. He's the champion. But WWE, they just collect talent like antiquity, so they can't go anywhere else and do anything.
You know what they were? I might have been on your guys' show. I don't remember. It's like what Triple H did with NXT is what Vince Sr. did. Which is like, who's the best star in all these territories? That's who we're going to take.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. And you guys might know better. Like, I feel like since AEW's shown up and since they've brought in so much indie talent, I don't know who's good on the indies anymore. Because it seems like everyone's working. So it's like that dude who just signed with TNA, or he signed with WWE, he's on TNA, right? Blake Christian.
Yeah.
You guys know this guy?
No, I don't really watch a lot of TNA.
I saw him wrestle on that 24-hour GCW 24-hour like Never Stop or Fight Forever. And he's fine. Like it's fine. It's good. But it's like, it's not like when I saw El Generico, like El Generico and it's like, what is happening in the world? Or you watch the Young Bucks or any, like when those guys are like, man, these guys are good. I feel like maybe that doesn't exist right now because there's so many options for people. What happened to Trevor Lee? Like Trevor Lee he's in NXT under a really dumb name, which is the curse of everyone who goes to NXT is how dumb of a name can you get? How much of a forgettable name can you get when you go to NXT? And I heard like this weekend, like I guess Eli Drake showed up, who I like. I like Eli Drake a lot. He's good on the mic. And they're like, oh, his name's LA Knight. I'm like, that sounds right. That's a terrible fucking name.
The reason why they do that though is because Vince wants to own all the copyrights.
I know, but why does he give them a good fucking name?
Because he's not good at it.
Seth Rollins.
So bad. It's so yeah, Tyler Black, right? Wasn't that his name on?
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, that's the name of the guy who, like, when you're calling to get, like, your fucking auto insurance up.
He basically, I think Vince McMahon has, like, an Aaron Spelling, like, name generator.
Oh, yeah.
And just hits. Like, yeah. Melrose Place, 1995. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, oh, Seth Rollins, here he is.
There Winter Thorstock.
Stupid.
It's so bad, man.
It's like Cameron a D&D name generator. He just pushes a button.
Yeah, that's all he does. Yeah.
They're worse. It's so bad.
But, well, I mean, AEW's great.
I don't miss. What's that?
AEW is great though.
Yeah, I love AEW. I love AEW. I have enjoyed TNA, and I'm always pulling for them, and they have been pretty good lately. And I like what TNA does. Something that's no one watches TNA. I don't watch TNA either, and I'll tell you why, because I don't have the station. Nobody does.
Well, here's the thing. It's actually
on Twitch or whatever.
It's actually called Impact Wrestling, and they show their show on Twitch. You can watch.
I know, but it's still on TV. It's on Access or whatever. It's on Access TV.
I ain't got that channel.
I don't have that channel.
I can't record Twitch, man. I got a life.
That's true. Well said.
But I watch, like, I watch their YouTube channel. Like, I look forward to it every week. TNA's really, you know what TNA does that's really good and has been their thing for like maybe 4 or 5 years, which I think is really interesting though. TNA is like, it's like, man, those guys are trying, but they can't talk. You know what I mean? Like, it's sad.
Yes.
But they're trying, right? Is that they lose their top star like every year. Yeah. Every year their best star leaves, and they next guy up. And they have like their history, like their fans really love like their canonical history, which I think is great. But boy, they're always next guy up, man. They're always ready to go, next guy up. And I love that. I think like you have to be a really good promoter to be able to keep it rolling like that.
Yeah.
So people shit on TNA. Look, they're not cutting good promos. We all know. I'm sorry, guys. It's bad.
Yeah, it is.
It's real bad. But they're trying. They're trying.
Well, I look at TNA to some extent the same way they go through the thing that New Japan went through for a while, where like at the beginning of the year, every year for 3 years, their best guys left.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had what? Finn Balor.
Well best actually, American. Best non- You
Japanese
know.
Guys. Yeah, yeah. But still though, I mean, like they made Prince DeWitt a huge star over there. He made himself a huge star. He goes to WWE. Eh. Then same thing with Shinsuke Nakamura. And then same thing with AJ
Styles. Shinsuke is old though. Yeah, AJ Styles is funny. Like I think there's a sort of a revisionist history. I think some, because AJ Styles has done so well for himself since he left TNA. But no one gave a shit about AJ Styles when he's in TNA. People can act otherwise, but I was watching TNA then. And listen, we were all like, this guy's good. But like when he talked, it was so like, he sounded like he's dumb. I just like, he's a great wrestler, dumbest guy on the planet, which might actually be true. I don't know. Yes. I don't know AJ Styles personally.
Well, from what I understand, he's a flat earther.
Oh, yes. I'm not surprised, because he's homophobic. He's vocally homophobic at one point in time. But that was a guy who, if you watch TNA, and I did back then, because I loved Raven. I loved Jeff Jarrett. I loved kid. What's his fucking name now? It's been that kid Quick for like a million years. 24/7 champion. What's his name?
Oh, he's got a stupid one too. Yeah, R-Truth.
R-Truth. Yeah. R-Truth was like their second champion. With like D-Lo was there and Ken Shamrock. This goes way back. But Jeff Jarrett was a local guy. I'm a Memphis Circuit USWA guy, so I've always pulled for Jeff Jarrett. His time as villain in TNA was Hall of Fame level heel, because he carried that company.
Yeah.
It was just him, and he had to be a big enough heel to put R-Truth over, to put like bad wrestling Ken Shamrock over. Anyway, I've always had a soft spot for TNA, and I lost the track of this. Oh, but AJ Styles. AJ Styles was like, this guy, the wrestling is great. I love Samoa Joe. They ruined him, of course, immediately, because once they brought like Vince Russo, not Vince Russo, they brought Hogan and fucking, what's his name? Eric Bischoff. It went to shit for a long time, because they were trying to do that thing where we were like, we're going to power up. Like, they had AJ Styles, who was like Ric Flair's like mentally handicapped, like ring boy for a while. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, we were all like, this guy can wrestle, but he couldn't talk. And he looked like he was always trying to figure things out. So he never got over. But when he went to New Japan,
shit,
they figured it out. Like, everyone, whatever happened in New Japan, like everything, like, hey, this guy can wrestle. We're going to figure everything out. And he did. And he's one of the best in the world, like no question.
Oh, AJ, I would say pound for pound, AJ Styles is the best.
He's way up there. I don't know if I'd say the best.
He's pretty damn close.
Okada, Kenny Omega, I don't know.
I'd say Kenny Omega is probably better than AJ Styles, but not by a lot.
AJ Styles is probably top. AJ Styles is going to have a great match with anybody.
Like, oh, I agree. I agree with that for sure.
He's probably top five. You got Okada, Kenny Omega, Naito, AJ Styles, and then it's kind of close. Somebody in five, Daniel Bryan.
But yeah, Daniel Bryan probably. Yeah, but yeah. I haven't seen Daniel Bryan wrestle in 3 years, so what do I fucking know?
Like, he's had some good, like, what I'll do is I'll cherry pick WWE. I record all the shows, and then I'll watch social media, and if somebody's like, oh, man, Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles had a match on SmackDown, I'll go back and watch that. But I ain't watching fucking King Corbin. I ain't got time for that shit.
No, it's good. I can't believe that guy's still around.
Yeah, he sucks.
You know who I think? You know who's up there right now? I think Rey Fénix has found some level.
Oh yes, he's great.
Yeah. I'm a Penta for lifer.
Zero Mano, he's the best.
I love Penta so much, but man, these last like two main events or three that Fénix was in, yeah, it's like I've always watched a Rey Fénix match and be like, that was fucking dope. Like, look at the flippies, that was cool.
Yeah,
no, Rey Fénix does things no one can do.
Yeah,
but these last couple times, it's like, hold on. Now everything he does is for a purpose.
Yeah.
And he's like responding like things. Rey Fénix, get after it. I love those guys. I love those two guys.
I'm not going to lie to you, when they had the Rey Fénix Kenny Omega match, which was probably one of AEW's best singles matches, it got overshadowed because the Good Brothers came in. I was hoping there was going to be an Omega Omega Fénix program, but it seemed that kind of fell to the wayside because Moxley came back.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I like Moxley, but I mean, I don't know what you're going to, he's a good brawler.
I believe I've talked shit about Moxley for you guys. You did, at me, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, we didn't yell at you. I mean, you can say whatever you want to. We're not going to censor you on the.
He hasn't had a good program yet. He just looks good. He hasn't done anything cool yet. He's not had a story. Like, he's not had a good, the best story was like, can I have your car or not, Chris Jericho?
That was,
I don't give a shit about your car.
The first year. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. Yeah, he got that first promo he cut when he won. That's great. He always cuts a good promo. He says the same thing over and over. I'm tough, and listen to what I'm going to do to you. I'm tough, but also I've had some pain in my life. But look what I'm going to do to you. That's every Moxley yes. promo. Yes. He's not a great wrestler. Like, you don't go, what an in-ring performance this match was. Like, he's a good brawler. I'm not saying he shouldn't be champion because he has the charisma to do it.
He'll take some bumps other people.
For sure he will. But it's like, in my opinion, guys, the heavyweight championship belt should always be the most interesting story on the show. And he's not had an interesting story to me yet.
Okay, I don't think you're wrong.
I could see that.
I think things got much more interesting with Omega as champion. So
yeah, because it's like, well, he has a story. Like, that's the thing, man. It's like AEW, I thought one of the things that AEW did when they showed up that I really liked was they're like, hey, wrestling isn't just about wrestling. It's not just about the cool shit that happens in the rings because we have these guys. Every one of these guys can do cool shit in the ring. But we're going to bring back giving a shit about narratives. And it's like, well, that's why I watch wrestling, right? Is that I want the same reason I read comics. It's like, I want a dumb story where people have to solve the problem by punching each other. That's what I want. Like, story. I want to see you overcome this dumb story where there's only one resolution. And when it does it and it does it great, it's the best entertainment in the world, in my opinion. Because not only did you do a really good job, you had to overcome this handicap you created for yourself.
Yeah.
Same thing as superhero. Superhero comics, we have the same thing. It's like, if you can tell like a really great story with superheroes, it's great. And it is. That's why people are like, what's the best American comics? It's Watchmen, it's Batman Returns, you know, it's like they did it. They figured out All-Star Superman. It's like they figured out how to tell an actual great story within this construct, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think Kenny Omega is doing a solid job right now. I like his story. The one person I think AEW is squandering terribly, and I think part of this is I think he's 100% responsible for it, is Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
I have no idea.
You think
so? Yes. What is he doing? Like, he's just kind of meandering around.
Here's what I think. I think that the work that Cody did in the first year put AEW on the map, and now he's recording television, and he's worried about his wife. And all those guys were like, hey, listen, and I think Kenny was probably one of the first, which was a mistake. They're like, we need to step back. Besides the Young Bucks, who can't help themselves. Yeah. Apparently. Can't help themselves. Cody can't help himself either. That's why I'm like, listen, you know, he did that good. Like, look, I'm the TNA champion and I'm going to do a different match every week. Like, those are great. Those are great.
No, those were cool.
And you know what? Do your fucking Snoop Dogg show, buddy. It's okay. Take a break.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with the Snoop Dogg show as well. But my problem with him was that when he lost to Jericho, he said, if I lose to him, I'll never challenge for the title.
They'll work. Yeah, they'll change that.
I know, but that was so dumb. Like, why would you take yourself out of the main? You're one of the biggest guys on the roster.
He's EVP. It's all fictional. It's not real. First of all, Bob, he can change the rules whenever they want, because what I signed was I can never challenge Jericho for the title, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe better yet, he'll come. What was that mask gimmick that Cody, his dad had?
No, the Midnight Rider.
Come back to the Midnight Riders, man. Yeah. Cody put on all that weight. He looks great. But it's like, they could do the B story could be Cody. But you know what? You know, Britt Baker's like makes fun of him on, like, oh, good thing there's another Cody Rhodes action figure coming out in series 4. And she's right. It's like, you know what? Cody can chill out, man. All those guys can chill out. But now, because Young Bucks are in a good spot because of the Bullet Club thing. It's like, I've been waiting for this Kenny Omega run since the beginning. I love AJ. It's my favorite. I've been waiting for this Kenny Omega run. And you know what? I don't need Cody involved. I don't need Cody, because the thing is, Cody always, he has that huge dumb entrance. It's not dumb, but it's dumb for someone who hasn't done anything, right?
Yeah, he hasn't done shit.
Entrance, but he always wins. Like, that's the thing. He always beats whoever he's going to fight. It's like, there's no, who did he lose to? Brody Lee. And then he beat him again, which is.
He had me interested right there, because he came back with black hair. And I'm like, oh, he's going to do a heel turn. Like, yeah. He's going to go heel Cody. Right here. And it's going to be great. And it's going to be wonderful.
New Japan,
I'm gonna love it.
Heel
and
Cody didn't. Rhodes was really good.
No, he wanted to be heel Cody Rhodes.
I wanted it too. But he came out and, you know, he was like, something happened at the same time, which might've been Brody. I can't remember where he was like, I can't do a heel turn, or I shouldn't. I can't remember what the deal was. God, I'm blanking on now. But also, you know, he was like, I like it when they like me better. Next week, he's like, I like it when you guys like me. He even said it on TV.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because
Young Bucks did a heel turn for like, what, a month? It's so weird, man. Like, that's the only complaint about AEW. And I think that stuff's fine, because they do it in a way that's not, they don't just stop. At least they say
it's kind
something.
Of, it's kind of organic.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of organic.
Yeah.
At least, because WWE will just stop. They'll just stop whatever it is. And you're like, whatever happened to Bo Dallas?
We're not doing that anymore. We were doing that.
It never happened. It never happened, they say. But at least with them, they're like, you know what? We're upset because we lost that match. Like, they always come up with a dumb reason. Like, that's fine. I'm okay. Listen, Cody's going to get his chance. You know, he's going to be world champ. It's only a matter of time. Like, right now it's Kenny's time. I thought, like, I thought you were going to say like Joey Janela or something who was being severely misused.
No, I think Joey Janela's fine. I really like Team Taz, because I think Ricky Starks is a goddamn.
Ricky Starks is great. Also, I did a book called Legend of Ricky Thunder, and my last name is Starks. So you feel like I'm maybe partially responsible for Ricky Starks' entire. But you know what I don't like about Team Taz? I don't like that their name is Team Taz.
Yes.
Because whenever Darby is like, he looks into the camera and he goes, next week, Team Taz, you're going to get hell or whatever, but it was like Team Taz. Man, we gotta get them a name, a cool name.
Team Taz works, but I do like Darby Allin. I think Darby Allin's done great.
I like Darby Allin a lot.
Yeah, he's good.
I think at this moment they like Darby Allin too much to let him be Darby Allin, which is my biggest knock. He's not doing anything. He's just sitting in the stands. Like, let Darby Allin come out on a skateboard.
Well, because I feel like right now he's carrying Sting's dead ass.
You know what? I don't know. I don't agree. I feel like Sting's gotten some pretty classic promos. He's keeping them short. It's like, man, you just know he's going to die. Was that tonight? Did they fight tonight?
Yeah, no, yes. They fight at the, I think, but they also fight at the pay-per-view in a street fight. But the thing about Sting is, like, when they brought him back, I was like, oh shit, it's Sting. And now they bring him back every week and I don't give a fuck anymore.
Well, they brought him back before. We talked about this,
and it was awesome.
Like, my stepson.
He's 7,000 like, years old.
He was like, he used to wrestle when you were a kid. I'm like, yeah, which means he's not going to wrestle now. Is what I said.
But you're wrong. He is.
It doesn't make sense.
He's like 60, isn't he? He's pushing 60.
Yeah. So is Ric Flair. He's still out there every week, right?
Yeah, but Jerry Lawler's out there. But he shouldn't be.
that's the thing about the street fight. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to put you don't have to do any rope
finesse
work.
Moves. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just throwing punches and hitting someone with a kendo stick and then
a bat. Yeah.
And Darby's gonna take all the bumps, so Sting doesn't really have to do anything. But the cool Sting was back, and you're like, holy shit, Sting's here. This is amazing. And then he just keeps showing up and like, all right, grandpa, let's get you back to the home. Come on.
He just likes making it snow in Florida, Bob. That's what it is.
WWE, like I said, was such a bad experience in the last like 7 years where them being like, look at this. Look who we brought back. Just being like, no, man, how about you let fucking Sami Zayn win a match?
I don't need to see Goldberg again.
Nobody wants to see Goldberg again.
I'm a big Goldberg. I know not anymore, really? For sure. Back in the day, absolutely. In WCW days, love Goldberg.
He was great. Yeah, but he's doing the same thing he did in 1998 now.
No, he only did three moves then. Like, you just have to be able to physically do three moves, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, Goldberg can hang in there. Like, that's like, he looks good, right? He can only have to do three moves. I think he hurt himself doing one of those three moves. But I think that's the thing is, like, I know why they did it is because one, it's TNA or TNT. And Sting has history, and it's like, it's a good bit. And you know, Sting knows Cody. Like, I get it. But it's like, man, you guys don't need to do that. You don't need to find out what Kevin Nash is doing next weekend for me to be watching.
Yeah. I want to see the new guys. I want to see the new people. But let's bring them up. Let's
Hot takes. Sammy Guevara turn from Inner Circle.
That's great. I love Sammy Guevara.
I like that as a story. I like Sammy Guevara a lot. Yeah, I think he had some young man running his mouth issues in IRL, but I like Sammy Guevara. I think he's really talented. I think that guy's, if he can not be a dickhead in real life or not be a non-wrestling dickhead, because you wrestling.
Yes. What are they going to do with him though? Because see, like before.
Man, you know what the rumor was? The rumor was he was going to show up under the Manic mask at TNA with their fucking ex-title, their ex-championship title match. Like, that would have been great. Because everyone thinks it's TJP. It is TJP. But it's like, if he pulled it off, it seemed like that was great. But that's the whole thing. Like, apparently, he showed up to do some angle. Sammy Guevara. So Sammy Guevara, they're like, hey, you're going to go to TNA, you're going to do an angle. And so he goes to Tennessee, and he shows up. And they're like, here's the angle. And he's like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, oh. And he's like, so I'll just leave. So this type of thing is going to get Sammy Guevara in trouble. Because I think he thinks he's hot shit. But I also feel like if I showed up to TNA, and they're like, we have an angle for you, and it's dumb, I'd be like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to leave. But I think he's great, man. I love Sammy Guevara. I'm looking forward to that story.
Yeah.
Almost more than anything.
Well, the thing I was going to say was, like, before that was, like, the foreshadowing was he's going to join up with like, Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy is going to mentor. I want to mentor you, Sammy. Like, he actually said that stuff. So I was like, oh, that would be kind of a cool tag team. Like, Matt and Sammy, like, or he's mentoring Sammy. Like, that would have been cool. And then they did, like, it went someplace crazy. So I was like, oh, where'd that go? Like, that was so weird. The angle they took with it, the whole Hardy compound wrestling match was like,
that was the end of it. That was the brush off.
It was all right, though. I actually kind of liked it.
My hot take is having Matt Hardy not doing the cinematic shit that he didn't really get to do is fucking a waste of him.
Yeah,
I think he doesn't want to do it. I think he wants to do what he's doing. Because they get to do whatever they want. Yeah. Like, no one's like doing a shit they don't want to do right now. You know? Right. Chuck Taylor was like, yeah, I'll be your butler for 2 weeks or whatever. Like, Prince gone. What else am I going to do? I just want to be on TV.
Yeah, that was a cool angle.
I like the ending. I thought Penelope went for it, which is the best part. Penelope went all in.
Yeah, she's great.
But the Matt Hardy side, like the Matt stuff he's doing right now with the contracts, like it's fun. It's funny. I'm not a big money Matt because I wasn't an ROH guy, so like I don't get stoked when I see big money Matt. I like Broken Matt. Like that's the one I want.
Broken
to see.
Matt's my favorite.
You know, I think Broken Matt will come back once the crowds are around. I think.
Yeah, maybe.
That needs an audience. I think the
it doesn't though. That's the greatness of it. The cinematic. He can do the cinematic stuff all he wants.
Yeah, but he gets the pop from the crowd when he comes in. And I'm sure. I think that needs an audience for that. I like Matt Hardy. I don't need to see him wrestle all the time.
No, I like him as a manager. And I think everyone's like, he's doing a great job as managing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's got that Terry Funk kind of walk at this point, that gait, that like real awkward kind of like.
He's broken his body so many times.
Yes. Like watching him move is terrible. My AEW hot take, I think, is. I think eventually Hangman Adam Page is going to beat Kenny Omega for the belt.
Oh, I think so. Maybe Moxley. I can see them giving it to Moxley just because they love him so much.
Yeah, but he's got a pregnant wife and he's going to be gone for a while. So I think
there's no parental leave.
I would love to see because I think that would be a cool kind of culmination of that story.
That would be my one gripe with AEW. They never really finish up the stories.
Like I think maybe sometimes.
But Kenny, who did Page? Oh, it was Jericho. Page wrestled Jericho, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like the MJF Jericho angle. I think that's hilarious. But that's
I think MJ. I wish MJF was a more interesting in-ring performer because everything he does outside the ring is so great.
Yeah, he's not the greatest wrestler.
I think I think he's a fine wrestler. He just doesn't do anything in the ring that interests me. Like, he doesn't have a move I'd like to see, or like a finisher. That's, I think his finishers, like, I just don't care. Like, I think
he's just really strong on the mic and like makes you laugh.
He's got such good character work. His character work's so good. He doesn't have Xbox. He has made a hateable character. And like, I hate that guy. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, no, that's he's
killing it, buddy.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
Just like you, Kyle Starks. Just
hey,
like you. We got to bring it back around.
Nice.
So you got to bring it back around eventually. This is just us talking wrestling with Kyle Starks. This is all we really wanted to do with you.
Yes, it's true.
It's just be your friend and talk wrestling.
I hear my bad wrestling opinions.
Dude, we like everybody's got opinions. Bad wrestling opinions. That's the whole thing about
it. I mean, my favorite wrestler is Luchasaurus, so you will hate
him. I like Luchasaurus a lot.
I love him.
So here's something, like Joey Janela is, and Luchasaurus to an extent, though, I think they're doing a real slow burn with those guys. I think they're trying to make Jungle, like, we're going to slow burn Jungle Boy into a big star.
Yes.
But, you know, I think, like, think of Private Party, I'm forgetting, Sean Spears,
mm-hmm.
Jurassic Express, and Joey Janela. Like, those guys were early signees, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, like, I mean, Joey Janela can technical wrestle. He can take the deathmatch bumps. Like, he's a good wrestler. He's good on the mic. Sean Spears could be their world champion. He could be any champion they want. He's got the look. Scorpio Sky might be in this discussion too. I don't know, because he's friends with them, so maybe not. All of the when they signed those guys, you had to think that they were like, hey, you're gonna get a shot at the title. You're gonna get a shot at the title. You're gonna get a shot at the title. You might, hey, maybe even you care for a couple months. But then they signed Brian Cage, they signed FDR. Like, those are the guys who get pushed back, right? They're the ones who get pushed back a notch. I feel bad for those guys, because I think they were supposed to have gotten a push. And I think also, like, the network loved Darby. The network loved Orange, which they should. Which they should love Orange
Cassidy. Yeah, they should love both those guys.
They should. And I'm sure that Orange Cassidy basically bumped someone's spot. But, man, I kind of feel bad for that. That's my AW hot take, is I feel bad for those early signings.
I can see that. Yeah. Especially Scorpio Sky. I think he's an amazing
talent. He's going to get it, though. Scorpio Sky's going to get it, because Scorpio Sky's going to get his chance.
I hope so.
Sean Spears is like nothing, right? Like,
you never see him anymore.
Yeah, I haven't seen him on TV anymore. In a very long time.
They're supposedly doing matches. Some bit where he was leaving and they took him off the website for a second, but he's still signed. But, man, like, if you look at that the first pay-per-view where he showed up, like, he looks big. He's bigger than everyone else on the roster. He's got a great look. He's good on the mic. He looks ferocious when he's being ferocious. It's like, man, I feel like that's a real missed opportunity.
I would disagree
for him. And yeah, I think, I like, as a friend, you know, he's friends with Cody Rhodes. Like, Sean Spears is friends with, they were tag team partners. In fact, I thought the whole Tully tag team chase was to get him to team up with Cody eventually, because they were like OVW champions back in the day.
Yeah.
And you'd have Spears and Rhodes as tag team champions. It never happened. Still a good angle. They can take that from him.
No, I agree. I don't know what they're really doing with that guy. I know he's a great technical wrestler. Hell, he's got his own school.
Yeah, all those, even like Private Party, like, they got that early win, like, on Young Bucks. You know they were going to get a push, and it just never happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to push now, but it's with TNA.
Like, now, some of that stuff, I wonder how much no crowd has played in that. Because
no crowd, you'd be like, well, you like, think who showed up? FTR showed up, Matt Hardy showed up, Sting showed up. Mm-hmm. Though they might have had a crowd when Sting showed up.
The crowd started to come back a little bit.
Yeah, but, they might have.
I mean, think about the early AEW shows, like, before they even had the TV deal, and think about how over Lucha Bros were, right? Like, they were.
I know.
People, they're definitely suffering from that.
Yes, I think.
Well, the Lucha Bros had pandemic travel issues too. So.
Yeah.
And Pac, they were like, we're going to do Death Triangle. Then Pac left.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff is the pandemic hurt a lot of dudes just with travel stuff. And it helped a bunch of guys. A bunch of these guys on Dynamite are getting real shots. It's like, they've earned it. There was some tag team that was killing it. Oh, because they're on TV now, I can't think of who it was. But they're like, these guys are killing it on Dynamite. Dynamite's going to be like a weird NXT, because, you know, they like Big Shoddy Lee won last week. And like, man, I watched all those matches he lost.
Yes.
Nick Corberero, who was apparently an NXT signee. I didn't realize that. Like, he's going to get a main event push. He looks great. Great looking guy. He looks powerful in the ring. Like, that's what they need. They need to mix up physicalities like that. So it's cool. I think a lot of people probably hurt just from the pandemic and not being in Florida, but I think a lot of dudes benefited from it too. It's going to be really interesting to see, like, their minor leagues.
Yeah. I mean, I think a guy like Will Hobbs got a big push from just being around all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's who I'm thinking of. Will Hobbs was, man, do you give a shit about Will Hobbs?
No, not really.
I want to, though.
I think he's cool. Like when he was just some good guy, I was like,
he did the heel turn. Yes.
Yeah, the heel turn was cool.
I just wanted to stop sneering. I want him to work a different facial expression.
He's got one look, Kyle Starks, and that's it. It's that sneer.
I want him to fix it.
I don't know, man. You tell him.
I will. They're not actually tough. They're just stronger than me.
And you tell him, like, look, I'm Ricky Stark's cousin, Kyle. I don't know if he talks about me very often.
His uncle.
Yeah.
Ricky Starks with the shoes killed me that time.
I love Ricky Starks.
Anybody seen my other shoe on Twitter? I died. I was done.
I think the work he's doing at AEW is the best. When he was in NWA, I thought it was a little obnoxious because he kept calling himself the Stroke Daddy. It's fucking nasty, Ricky Starks. Calm down.
You're going too hard.
I love Ricky Starks. He's great. Like he's
Stroke Daddy.
He's good on the mic. He's got charisma.
He is good on the mic.
He's real good on the mic.
He can wrestle. He's a good wrestler. He's great.
Yeah, he is.
He's got good character work. His stuff with Taz on Dark is really charming.
I love seeing him wrestle Darby because it's always good. Like it's always you always have a decent match between the two of them.
Absolute Ricky Stark, he's great.
Yeah, I do too. I like him too. They need to push Brian Cage up to that main event.
There's no room. That's the
there thing. Is room. There's nothing but room. That's the thing. There's nothing but room.
Is there though?
Absolutely. Let's do this. Who are your main event? Mind you, Cody's one of them. We can't count him. He's not even in the main event.
That's what I'm saying. He's out. Can't count him.
Cody's out. Who's your main? Who are the guys right now? What is today? February 17th, 2021. Yes. That you could see holding that big title belt today in AEW.
Kenny Omega,
John Moxley, Jericho,
John Moxley.
Yep.
Lance Archer.
I don't see it.
Which one, MJF or Lance Archer?
Either one of them. I don't see either one of them.
Really?
Today. We're saying today.
Today. I could see Lance Archer carrying that belt.
I could too. And MJF too. But
not today.
No, you think
those matches he had with Moxley were fucking boring.
Yeah, they weren't great. True.
He took himself out of the title picture.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I would think
about it that way.
I would say not today, but who I would say who do you push out? Lance Archer is eventual, not today. I think Penta. I think Pac.
I think Penta and Pac, yeah.
And I think
Rafe.
Penta, Pac, Brian Cage. Brian Cage, that guy just looks he's ginormous.
Yeah,
he's just legit, and he's doing backflips out there. He's legit.
Yes,
that guy and these guys have all. Penta, Pac, and Brian Cage were all former champions. They were all Lucha champions. I don't think Rey Fénix is there yet to be world champion. I think he's with Lance Archer. They're like in that right below. But there's like that's like five guys.
Sean Spears, if they gave him the right push,
there's a bunch of guys
if they gave him the right push, but the thing is they're not going to do it. So it's like who do they have? Like if you're like I don't think if they put Lance Archer, Lance Archer over Moxley for the belt when Brody and MJF and Kenny and none of those other guys could? No fucking way. Though I got to say, like, Archer is growing on me. But every time I see him, I know he's got a tramp stamp and I know he covered it with a fucking cemetery yard or whatever the
fuck. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, except that I know you have a tramp stamp, Lance Archer. I know it used to be like a fucking yin yang and said like peace underneath it. Like, I know it used to be there, Lance Archer. But I kind of like him better as a face. Like, I kind of like him better as a face anyway. I feel like he did those great promos where he's throwing guys to the ceiling.
She was amazing. Where he threw that guy through the roof.
It's just like, Lance, all you're doing I'm not a New Japan guy. Like, I try to keep up, but I don't know what's going on. It's like, he just growls a lot and he's tall. It's like, that's fine. He's building it. He's growing it for me. He's growing on me.
Well, that's why they stuck him with Jake Roberts. Let Jake Roberts do all the talking.
But now they're like, Jake Roberts, don't talk anymore. Like, don't even talk. Just fumble around the ring like a helpless old man.
I don't understand why he always wants to get into the ring.
Yes, he does in every match. You're right.
He always just wanders around like he's lost. Like he walks.
He is lost.
He's standing on the apron.
Yeah, I love also how they're like, oh, the short arm clothesline. Like that's not the move, dudes. That's not the one that we get excited about. All right.
He can't get up after doing it.
Oh no, there's no way. Yeah. He's not even there. He's not even talking anymore. Let him go. Like I don't mean let him go, but it's like Archer's doing his own talking now too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is like there's room at the top of the main event. You think the best era of WWE was when it was Rock and it was Mick and it was Stone Cold and it was Triple H, it was Big Show, when there was like seven dudes who you were like this person could, because they built them. It's like with that old who I can't remember who was like, you don't cut a promo to bury the guy you're fighting, right? Because if you bury him, then you just look great. It's better that everyone looks as strong as you.
Yeah.
And you cut your promo. And this thing with WWE is at its best. It had like seven, even like, I think maybe Ken Shamrock was like
Kurt Angle.
Yeah, you need like six. Those guys are selling the merch. Those are the ones that were, that you can put in different situations and they make different situations better.
Well, that's why I was AEW's saying,
heading that way.
Well, but that's why I was saying it was stupid that Cody took himself out of the picture.
No, because the thing was, no one was going to beat Jericho. Like, they knew what was going to happen. Jericho's going to carry the belt because he's a big star and they have to have a big star. And Cody's not. He's not a big star. I mean, he is to us.
I understand him not winning, but that stipulation didn't make any sense.
That's drama, Bob. You're a writer.
It's stupid, Kyle.
No, it's good. It's good. Because you know what? Also, like, because the thing is like, you know, everyone was like, they're just going to give themselves the belts, Young Bucks.
B-I-M-D, because it's more dramatic.
I'm praying that when I go upstairs after this is over, I hope Santana and Ortiz kick the shit out of the Young Bucks.
Well, there's so many things they could. Here's the thing. I haven't watched it yet. This is a moment that's ripe for them to do the more interesting thing. The Good Brothers cost you the title somehow, right?
Yeah.
And now we get to see Jericho and MJF fight Santana Ortiz, who I love from TNA once again. Love those guys. And they're so good. They're like the Lucha Brothers. They're so good. They don't have to wrestle every week. And they don't have to win. And they don't have belts. Every time we see them, they're great. Santana Ortiz are great. They're great. Capital G, great.
But it's crazy to me that, because I was watching a promo that they cut before we went downstairs. This is their first title defense. They've been in AEW for 18 months. What's the holdup?
I don't know if there's a way to do it. If it's like cage wrestling. But look and see how many tag team matches they've had on Dynamite. I bet it's two.
Yeah.
It's like four, maybe.
Yeah.
And one of them, 18 matches.
Because they've done six man, they've done eight mans.
They've cut a whole bunch of promos. Yeah. Yes.
But they've done lumberjack matches. Muscle, man. It's so funny. They're muscle when you have Hager, and Hager's literal job is to be muscle. And he's had more wrestling matches on Dynamite because they've been on Dark recently.
I don't care about him at all.
I think he's good. I do. He's doing a really good job. In fact, that's why it's like, if you're going to bring in a star, Jack Swagger is a former world heavyweight champion. He looks great. He submission stuff's great. When he was champion on SmackDown, he did really, really funny stuff. Like he did kind of promo where he had every trophy he ever won. And one of them was a Scrabble trophy. it was really self-effacing. It was funny and charming. He's really good. And when, I don't know if you guys watch a lot of Dark like I do, or watch BTE, like you get to see him shine doing the backstage stuff more. Yeah. Okay. He's really good. He's a guy like I'm glad they have. He's a guy who when he first showed up, he's like, oh, put this guy in, push him to the main event. But it's like they're not. They're using him for something else, and that's fine. He just wants a paycheck. He didn't give a shit. He's doing MMA.
Yeah.
He's doing Bellator. But he's good. I always Jack Swagger's on the list of guys. Like, man, when he got his chances, when he wasn't just We the People, even the We the People stuff was pretty good. But when he was champion, when he was JR's boy that won the title on SmackDown, it was great.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. I was rooting for Sammy Hagar just for the name.
No, it's dude. I know Sammy's great. It's a good, like, nothing like you. If, the way he responded, like the way Hagar responded to all that stuff, it's so good, man. Like, I like Hagar. I'm pulling for him. He was good in Lucha Underground.
He was great in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, so he's good. He's got personality. It's just like he's just a big tough guy.
Yeah.
But it's like if he's a big tough guy, what's Santana Ortiz? They should have been like, go win a title. But they're like, nah, we'll just hang out. Good.
And
I love them though. I think they're so good.
Think about the match they had, the brawl outside with the best friends. So, that was a great match.
Those two guys are shit on too. Like Chuck Taylor's one of my all-time favorites. Those guys are a good fucking tag team.
Yeah.
I love them. Yeah.
They got their shot though. They got a title shot. Maybe two title shots.
Hopefully when Trent comes back, they'll get that push again because they were doing some big things. I was really impressed with that.
See, they're gonna swing orange. They were doing like a weird like Miro. I feel bad for Miro because this isn't the best entrance feud. For him, I don't think. You know what? I forgot about Miro. You could put Miro in the main event, too. I agree.
The thing is, if Miro's working with Orange Cassidy, that's big because Orange Cassidy's a huge star for them.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same, though, when it's a tag team and it's Kip's. And I like
but
Kip.
I think Kip eventually it's just going to be Orange and Miro against each other, and that's not a bad spot for Miro. No, again, Cassidy's probably the third biggest star that they've created from out of nothing, almost, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I love that. Anyone who came from Chikara, which I know now has sort of a bad stigma, but anyone who came from Chikara, like, those are my guys, my modern guys I pull from so hard. So I love Orange, and I love Chuck Taylor, and I love Eddie Kingston. I wish they gave Eddie Kingston. I think Eddie Kingston could be champion, though maybe not now.
He's great on the mic. I love Eddie Kingston on the mic.
He's so good. He's a good brawler in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him versus Moxley was a good match.
Yeah, it was a really good match. Yeah.
I enjoyed the Moxley. When you say the one program that Moxley had, it was with Kingston.
Yes.
I agree. And you know, but who made that? Like, who made that?
Kingston made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best guys, like CM Punk at the end of his career. So I'm blanking on someone else in Kingston. You do this thing where you put like, hey, go out there and make something good happen. And they always figured out a way to make like a weird, no heat, sort of feud, like into something interesting. Eddie Kingston being like, this is why my mom doesn't have a grandkids. It's fucking top tier promo shit.
Yeah, that's hard times. He was cutting hard times promos.
He's good. Eddie and Chikara was always like the toughest guy in Chikara. He was the only real guy in the cartoon federation. anyone who comes out of Chikara is like, I have such a soft spot for. I'm pulling for those guys. Hot sauce, Tracy Williams. Come on, he's in Ring of Honor though.
I don't watch Ring of Honor.
I don't either, but it's like I try to keep up on everything. You know, that's just how I do my wrestles. That's what YouTube is for on Mondays.
Yeah, no, totally. I record the show, Ring of Honor, for my local K, and I turn it on every now and then, but I only have so many hours of wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
I realize I only have time for one program, and it was going to be NXT or
I make AEW. Time for New
Japan. You made the right choice.
I make time for New Japan.
You know what? We watch a ton of basketball now. My wife is so happy we're not watching 7 hours of wrestling every week. She's so relieved. And I don't blame her. Like, I can't do it. I watch Dynamite on Wednesday mornings, and I fast forward through most of it. I'm not going to lie. I fast forward through most of it. Oh. I'm watching basketball now. So, but it's like, man, I try to watch like the weekly highlights of Ring of Honor and TNA. And if you go to the Reddit squared circle, you'll get those WWE highlights. I just don't give a fuck about I don't care about anyone in WWE right now. And the guys I care about, I thought would leave. They probably won't. Cesaro just re-signed. That's a Chikara guy. I like Cesaro and Sami Zayn. Can you imagine Sami Zayn in AEW?
God, he'd be great.
He wrestled all those guys when he was Wrestler of the Year. He was PWI Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, get it back. Let's see it again.
Sami Zayn's one of the best guys in the business.
Yeah. Steen. I mean, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens. Like, I know he's gotten a shot, but it's like he's never really gotten a shot. Doesn't Daniel Bryan want to wrestle Kenny Omega in AEW? Come on.
That would be amazing.
AJ Styles in, I guess he's going to be happy. All those guys are making their money. They're like Finn and Shinsuke, they're making their money. They don't care about the art of it anymore as much. Or they care less about it, I'm sure.
I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Who knows?
Sami Zayn, come on, man. Go to AEW.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing. Yes.
So Kyle Starks, you said you were working on 3 books right now. What are you working on?
Let's talk about those.
I'd love to, but nothing's been announced. I'm doing a book with Chris Schweitzer at Skybound. He's on issue 4. It's going to be a miniseries, of course, because I do it. I'm working on a presumably ongoing series for Skybound. It's going to be non-comedy. It's going to be a horror series. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I have a wrestle-themed book I'd like to do for a Kickstarter. And we're trying to sell Karate Prom. I did another 80 pages of Karate Prom. Karate Prom was my free comic book day comic last year during the pandemic.
That's awesome.
That I did in 32 pages in 10 days. Not recommended. I freaked out a little bit and really got too excited about it. So I kept working out to my pulling shirt. But I like those characters so much. I was like, I'm going to do 2 more parts and then we'll find someone to buy it. And I had a publisher who promised to buy several of my books and they backed out. So I lost out a lot of money, so we're hustling. I got a literary agent to sell Karate Prom for me, hopefully.
Word?
Nice. I feel like a literary agent, I feel like the mistakes that I have made in professional comics, most of them would have been avoided if I had a literary agent, even though I hate giving anyone any of my money. And that's why I never had one. But I'm for sure that I undersold myself and I priced myself too low more than once. And I regret that. And I bet a literary agent would make that not happen. Some books like Image, you know, you don't make money for Image. Like maybe I could have sold some of those books and it would have been different. Maybe someone would have been like, hey, don't break up the story for Rock Candy Mountain. I got a literary agent. We'll see how that goes. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's cool. Nice.
What else? So they're trying to sell Karate Prom. I'm writing for a cartoon, writing the comic adaptation of a cartoon that doesn't exist yet, which is weird. And not great because I have to kind of like guess/figure out things So it won't be right. It won't be accurate in some way or another to whatever the finished product is, but I need the money. So that's kind of, I need the money job.
Hey man.
Yeah, we're out here hustling, man. Cause we got bills to pay and my wife didn't want to go to work and we don't want to leave the house. Hopefully cons come back real soon, but I'm not going anywhere till I get vaccinated. I don't know about you boys.
Same.
So I'm hoping that happens soon, but no one seems in a hurry for that to happen.
No.
If I get quick enough, I'll go on that Skybound image cruise. No, I won't do that. I'm not going to go on a cruise. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Daddy, Kyle, Robert, we know we love you.
True. I'm gonna head to. What's that website again, Kyle?
It's KyleStarks.com.
I see.
You can do backslash merch if you just want to give me money. Absolutely. I do a sticker club. Boys, I do a sticker club.
The sticker club's a cool
$5. Idea. $5 shipping included. It's just flat $5 anywhere. You get two cool stickers every month from my Patreon or merch. You go to the merch shops section. I got Old Head, which you haven't read because it wasn't published. We're looking for a publisher maybe for that too. I'm really dragging my feet for no good reason.
I love that book, man. I thought it was brilliant. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm going to go and buy Old Head as soon as we get off the air.
Old Head was going to be my second. It's going to be my book after Sex Castle.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a weird sell. And what happened is, I'll tell you the old story. I know you guys are trying to get rid of me. I'll tell you the old story
we're not.
Real quick.
We're listening.
Is that I did Sex Castle as I was doing it. Like, I really love making comic books. And I made Sex Castle and I put it on Kickstarter. It's fine. I went to some shows. Of course, it got discovered by Matt Fraction. Thanks, Matt Fraction. And it got nominated for an Eisner and it got optioned by the Workaholics. And suddenly everyone was paying attention. And I was like, my next book is this book about an ex-NBA player fighting Dracula, basically. And it's called Old Head. My wife's like, you're going to be known as the guy with stupid book title names. And I'm like, that's true. And it's also is that it's a really challenging sell because, like, what is it? It's not basketball, but basketball's in it. And people hear basketball and they don't want to read a basketball comic. It's like, oh, well, Dracula. It's like, they don't want to read a Dracula comic. They don't want to read a horror comic because horror comics are so hard to do. And I'm like, yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, but it's
a tough sell. So yeah, but I was like, you know what? I'll do Kill Them All instead, which also got optioned and it worked out pretty well for me. But that's a humble brag. I threw it in there.
You did.
So when I guess 2019 came around, I was like, I think I have enough fans who know what I make and know to expect something that's going to be different and fun. Like they'll be down for it. And they were for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Old Head is horror in the style of Beetlejuice.
Sure. Exactly.
You know, like it's not
campy.
Yeah. It's not horror. It's, you know,
it's like scary monsters in it. There's scary monsters in it.
There's scary monsters in the sense that, you know, Bugs Bunny's going to be fixing their hair. Yeah. But I mean, it's not horror, you know?
There's some horror parts that I just can't not put a joke in. I'm doing this serious horror book right now. And it's like, I'm like typing it up. And it's like, oh, here's a slow moment. And I'm like, oh, I should put a dick joke in. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that this time.
I'm going to say motherfucker here for no reason.
Instead, something scary happened.
Oh, that's like, going to be weird.
Yeah, no dick jokes at all.
I want to see it.
Well, I want to ask you this, Kyle. This is a serious comic question. Yeah. Like, do you feel that you've been kind of hindered in some way because you're known as like a comedy writer?
I think, especially over this last year, I think people had a lot more clear. In some ways, and I'll tell you why. And it's because it's fair. I think if there's people doing comedy and comics, by the way, this last year has been so depressing. It's so hard for me to do comedy, but I think over the last 4 years, I'm one of the top four people doing comedy and comics, if not higher than that. I think it's regular, consistently funny.
Yeah.
I don't think there's people who, I think there's a lot of people who are funny, but they're not ha 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 funny. I think Chip's above me. For sure. Kate Beaton doesn't work anymore. Anyway, but I think the thing is that comedy is so subjective that people don't want to buy it. They're not like, oh, you should buy this comic. It's really funny. That's not something people say in America. That's not something people say in America. And over the last year, people have said, hey, comedy's tough to sell, which it isn't. It's just only, it's not that it's tough to sell. It's just very few people will buy it because it's subjective.
Yeah.
And one of my secrets of comedy, and I was just talking to a comedy writer, professional comedy writer, guys, a TV comedy writer. And I was like, oh, he's like, you put highbrow comedy in, you put lowbrow comedy in, you put stuff in that's just for you. It's like, my thing is like, I try to put something in my books that's for everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, lowbrow comedy. I'm like, no, he's like, you got to put it in there because people think it's funny and you're trying to make people laugh. Like that's the job. It's not you're trying to make yourself laugh, though I always am. But I think comedy is very difficult. I was talking to an editor and they're like, comedy's tough to sell. When I spoke to Kirkman about this Horvick, he's like, don't do it. He's like, you know what? You get this, do this pitch that you gave us before. But it's like, don't do comedy, which I wasn't going to do, but I kind of can't help have characters act a certain way.
Yeah.
Which to me, like, they're charming. It's not comedy. It's like, there's these charming characters, but yeah, for sure. Because in America, people want, I'm doing air quotes, people want serious comics. That's what sells well in America. And unfortunately I'm in America. I feel like if I was 20 today, and I was able to do these books, which I couldn't have because a lot of it's about parental responsibility and growing up and making choices. And with like the sort of like Webtoons crowd, I think I'd be way popular if I could do these sort of charming, funny books that I've done, but they're not for American comic at large.
Yeah.
And I can do more than comedy. I think comics should be fun. That's my number one thing. It's always been my, because when I, from the 90s ruined comics for me because they wanted to fucking, everyone had to be Starling all the time, like Will Hobbs. That's a callback. and it's like, man, it wasn't fun. They weren't fun for me. They were so serious. It's like, yeah. It's not fun. Comics should be fun. And I stand by that. And also I stand by, like, you know, the thing with Old Head, Sex Castle, you can read them on the toilet. Like, they go fast. I like that too. I like that. It's not like, I want to get in and out. It's like, let's have a good time. Let's be like a, you know, like a film. Like, you watch and you're done. Like, that's great. That's the thing, of all these things I wanted to do, and I've done them. But I'm also very interested in being seen by a larger audience, which I thought Assassination would do for me, and I guess still might. But you know, I feel like it's really difficult to do just comedy. And I think if you look, there's not very many people who've done only comedy their entire career.
Yeah,
pure comedy, yeah. Not YA comedy. Not all ages comedy, not kids comics. It's a pretty small group of people who are always done it. So yeah, I do. But I'm interested in that larger audience. I also think, like, people need to do a good run, a year run with a big two book, which I hate. But I am interested in doing that. It's just, I don't know those characters like I did when I was 20 or when I was 17.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I love them like I used to. I shouldn't say that out loud, but you know, like, I'd want to do D-Man, or I want to do like the little dinky guys that no one cares about. I was gonna say Beetle Gold, like no one cares about him, but it's like, I want to play those characters.
I want to play Booster Gold and Blue Beetle.
I tell stories with characters, or not with superhero stuff's hard because to me, there's no stakes and there's no drama to me in a story without stakes. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone the other day about Assassination. Is like, me and Erica were like, look, if you guys read Assassination, I don't know if you heard from Skybound, it's pretty good. Erica,
yeah, I have the first two issues.
Like, the two most popular, or not the two, but it's like, we knew Fuck Tarkington is going to be the popular character in that book. And Skybound, it's not creator owned. They technically own it. They could do Assassination without me if they wanted to. They have to pay me. But so we were at the end, we're like, you know what? I was like, wait, let's just kill Fuck off. Let's kill Fuck and let's kill Dave. So, spoilers, they don't die if you haven't read Assassination. But I was like, let's kill these popular characters off. And we're like, it's like, because I can kill whoever I want. Everyone can die in my book. The original Old Head ending, Old Head died. The original ending, he dies at the end.
No.
And Schweitzer was like, it's a bummer ending. Don't do a bummer ending. And I'm like, I don't think it's a bummer ending. I think there's a real story being told here about mortality and immortality if you're a Dracula. but that, like, I think there's, you have to have the stakes. Like, there has to be stakes. It's like, what's the stakes for Green Lantern? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what it is. I'm sure
the galaxy is at stake.
You know what, Stark's a good writer. I'm like, I'd figure it out. I'd like the challenge of it. But I think to be successful in America, you need either a breakout book, Walking Dead, Scott Pilgrim, that type of thing. And of course, Brian Lee O'Malley hasn't really done anything since. But it's like, you have to have that breakout book, or you have to have a good run at Marvel or DC.
Yeah.
And none of it's comedy. Like, none of it's comedy. Ian Kirkman was like, he's like, I did comedy when I started. He's like, but I didn't make my money off comedy. Like, that's right.
That's it. Because Kevin and I are, you know, Metal Shark Bro is a comedy book. So it's just kind of, sometimes we feel pigeonholed, and I wanted to see how.
Yeah. No one says it to me. Yeah. Like, no one says it to me, but it's like, I know why my stuff in America doesn't sell, but you know, that stuff for Kickstarter, like, I sell on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Because that's a different audience. It's not the audience that walks into the direct market. But the thing is like, the house that Donny Cates is going to be able to buy today is different than the house that Donny Cates could have bought 4 years ago, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I want to make money. We all want to make money. And I'm not saying, how could I make that money? But what I'm saying is like, I'm trying to look behind me. I've made a bunch of great comedy books. I did Rick and Morty as close to as strongly as the cartoon is for 4 years. like, I've done a bunch of good comedy. I've proven myself. Like, now I kind of want to prove I can do something else. And hopefully people will look at this other stuff and say it's great. And if not, I tried it. Like, whatever. Like, what's it hurt to try? It doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
I think comics should be fun. It's really a mantra of mine.
I completely agree. Kevin and I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. But I also think, you know, America, the direct market doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
No. No. They want Batman punching people.
It has to be serious, man. Yeah, like, so. It's a serious art form. It's like, is it? These guys are all in their fucking underwear and we're acting like it's serious. What the? Yeah. Like, literally, you can see Batman's underwear. He's got a belt on his underwear. Explain that.
Now you just sound like my mother.
Explain it to your mother too.
Bobby, why is Batman running around in his underpants?
Why are, if Superman's invulnerable, why does he have underpants on?
It's gonna be scary for him not wearing pants. He's gonna scratch up his legs.
He can have his pants on. They're like, we better put trunks up. I don't understand it. Anyway, that's why I'm not getting the shots. I should be good. Maybe a couple of years, and I'll be stoked. And you'll be like, man, Kyle, who's Kyle really loves Daredevil. And I'll be like,
Kyle Starks writes the best Iron Man.
Oh, he loves Iron Man.
Yeah, he does a great Daredevil. And a great
Iron Man. Can you imagine Starks on Iron Man? Starks does Stark.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, it practically writes itself. It
does.
I was a drunk for like 4 years. I could do it. I don't think he's drunk anymore. I think he's sober now.
I think he's sober now.
Yeah. I guess I am too.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. You've got your connectivity.
You've had your redemption
connectivity
arcs.
Point yeah, with I the
can,
character.
Yeah. I can relate.
Well, yes. Kyle, we've had you on for quite some time. It's been wonderful talking to you, as always. You're such a talented guy, such a good dude. Hopefully when all this is over, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, I hope so. If not, you can follow me at the Kyle Starks on almost all social medias or patreon.com/Kyle Starks. Follow my Patreon. It's cheap. It's real cheap. You support your local creators. Make sure I keep the lights on. I don't have to write Iron Man.
Look, this dude can't even put a camera on his computer machine because he ain't got enough Patreons.
I'm in my basement, man. It's scary down here.
We saw it last time.
We saw that last
time. Oh, it's better than last time. I should have turned it on. I have shelving down here now. My office is down here.
Shelving. Very fancy.
He's got fancy. Yeah. Kyle Starks went got fancy on us.
Well, Kyle, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. And when you got your books, your secret books that are getting ready to come out, you're more than welcome to come back and talk anytime. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. I think I'm hoping they announce one of them at Image Expo.
On the boat?
No, Image. I don't know if that's on a boat or not. But every year that I've done something with Image or Skybound, it's always, it hasn't been an assassination, but it's been very close to Image Expo. And I'm like, let me do Image Expo this year, guys. Come on. Nah. But maybe this year.
Maybe this year. Kyle, thank you very much, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I hope you're doing well, being safe.
Always.
And I look forward to your next projects. Good boys.
And that was Kyle Starks. Good dude, man. I love Kyle.
I mean, there's never too much wrestling talk on Word Bros.
No, never, never, never.
I mean, that's not something that we adhere to. We talk about wrestling every time. So,
but I like, yeah, but not for 45 minutes.
I think everybody will want to hear wrestling for 45 minutes, especially everybody that listens to this pod.
Especially from Kyle. He's great.
Yeah, you want to know Kyle Starks' hot takes. That's what you're on Twitter for.
Go to kylestarks.com, pick up his books. He's a good dude. And while you're searching the internet, go to wordbros.com, thewordbros.com, and buy some of our stuff as well. We would appreciate it.
Yeah, you just hit thewordbros.com, and there's a little thing that says buy our books.
Grease that wheel, baby. All right, well, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week with a lot more stuff. I think next week we have Rich Duick on.
We do. So, and he's an amazing dude.
Yeah, I like Rich a lot, so we'll talk to Rich Duick next week. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.